The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. As I mentioned in the announcements, our fifth annual chili cook-off yesterday was a success. 12 chili makers, another 12 or so cornbread and cookie bakers, and a whole bunch of enthusiastic tasters helped us to raise the highest total for project share we've raised since we started this event. I'm not even mad that I lost again. We chili cooks were asked to provide a list of the ingredients we used so that folks with food allergies could make informed decisions about which entries they sampled. As you might imagine, the lists sitting in front of the various crock pots included the basic building blocks of chili: ground beef, tomatoes, kidney beans, peppers, onions, chili powder, cumin. Of course, there were a few variations: chicken or venison instead of beef, the addition of beer, cocoa powder, corn. You know what no one wrote on their ingredient list? Salt. And I bet we all used it. It's assumed. Because food without salt just tastes blah. Anyone who's had to go on a low-sodium diet, say amen. We're now in week two of our readings from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, an extended passage in the Gospel of Matthew in which Jesus teaches his disciples and the crowds around him the ways of righteousness. The Sermon on the Mount comes early in Jesus' public ministry and, as you heard last week, starts off with the Beatitudes, a series of blessings. In the Beatitudes, Jesus sets the stage for what his life, death, and resurrection will accomplish. Those who mourn will be comforted. The meek will inherit the earth. The merciful will receive mercy. The peacemakers will be called children of God. The persecuted will receive their reward. If you were a member of one of those groups, those blessings would sound like pretty good news. You're burdened by grief. You're at the bottom of the totem pole or living on the margins of society. You value mercy and peace over vengeance and violence. You are blessed, Jesus says, and your day will come. It's interesting, though, after he offers blessings to this ragtag bunch of people, Jesus tells the sick, the lowly, the unclean, the broken, the victimized gathered around him, that they are precious and have important work to do. Now, it's possible you didn't pick up on that from our gospel because the images Jesus uses sound different to our ears than they would have to the ears of his first century listeners. First, Jesus talks about salt. You are the salt of the earth. Salt, back in Jesus' day, wasn't the ubiquitous, cheap, in every household, on every restaurant table kind of thing that it is for us. Salt was something precious. Towns were built around where it was found. Roads were constructed for the purpose of carrying it. Food was preserved with it. Wealth was accumulated from it. Linguists even believe that our English word salary has its roots in the Latin word for payments made to Roman soldiers in the salt trade, salarium. The second image Jesus uses is just as difficult for us 21st century folks to appreciate. You are the light of the world. We live in a world where light pollution is the problem. There are few places left on earth where it is dark enough to really see what's up there in the night sky. Street lights and house lights and traffic lights, glowing billboards and the high beams of oncoming cars glow all around us. And that's just outside. Inside, our smartphones and tablets and Kindles emit light that strains our eyes, disrupts hormone production, and messes up our sleep. So it's hard for us to appreciate what it was like in Jesus' day after the sun went down, but it was dark. Dark. Only a candle here, an oil lamp there. Precious little specks of light punching holes in the blackness, hardly anything against the dangers of the night. So imagine what it would have been like if you were sitting there 2,000 years ago, listening to Jesus teach on that mountain, to hear him say that you are salt. You are light. How amazing that would have sounded. He started with blessings, and here he's giving more good news. We are precious. We are special. And that's not all. Because along with declaring the value of these folks, Jesus makes it clear that they have a purpose, a job to do. They are to be salty salt. They are to be shining lights in the deep darkness of the world, and not for themselves, not to merit appreciation or rewards or gold stars, but so others may see their good works and give glory to God in heaven. We may be listening to these words of Jesus 2 millennia later, long, long after those crowds who first listened to him speak from a mountaintop moved on. But you know, those words of Jesus are for us too. We are precious. We are special. We have a job to do. The job of being salty salt, of being shining lights in the world. That's the work you and I were given when we were baptized, washed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, our baptismal liturgy quotes Jesus on this point directly. As we light a candle from the Paschal candle and hand it to the newly baptized, or in the case of a baby, to to their parent or sponsor. Let your light shine before others, we say, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not complicated to be salt and light in the world in the name of Christ. Well, sometimes it's hard or risky or frustrating or even maybe a little boring. It's not complicated. I see you doing it. Now, you might not think it's a big deal to stand outside on a cold, cold Friday evening offering a cup of hot chocolate and a warm greeting to folks attending Ice Fest, or to make a crock pot of chili or a pan of cornbread for a Project Share fundraiser, to sew quilts to be distributed through Lutheran World Relief to people all over the globe, to donate a stuffed animal or school supplies to a child experiencing trauma, to serve a meal at my brother's table, to hand out bulletins, wash communion glasses, deliver flowers to the homebound, pray for people in need, send a card to someone struggling with illness or grief, lift your voice in song. You may not think it's a big deal, but these are the ways you are salty salt and bright shining lights in this community and in the world. And you know what? That's all and everything God asks of us. Amen.